Amen. All right, so I'd like to start off by thanking Pastor for this opportunity to preach tonight and thank everyone that's here. And you're there in Isaiah chapter 61, and I want you to keep your finger there while you turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. So the subject I want to preach about tonight is our recent trip that we took to the U.S. Virgin Islands. We just came back from a trip in January, then we went to the Virgin Islands and we got many people saved. It was 187 people that we got saved there. And now we're planning our second trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands in May. And so I'd like to talk about that tonight, but you're there in Luke chapter 4, and I want you to look down at verse number 16. I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. And the Bible says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And in verse 20 it says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" So, of course, where Jesus is reading this from in the book of Isaiah is where you guys are turned to in Isaiah chapter 61. And this prophecy is literally fulfilled by Jesus whenever he's on this earth. It even says in verse 21 in Luke 4, it says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." However, we as soul winners today are also accomplishing these same things as well. This also applies to us as well. And I want to go through these verses with you, these very powerful verses tonight, and talk about how we as soul winners, we're accomplishing this as well. So you're there in Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah 61, and it says, in verse 18 of Luke 4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And I want to start by talking about that. You know, in order to be an effective soul winner, in order to get many people saved, to do something great for God, you have to have the Spirit of the Lord upon you. You know, you have to have the Holy Spirit filling you. You know, obviously we know the difference in this church about, you know, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but I'd like to talk about that for a second. Of course, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the New Testament phenomenon where basically the Holy Spirit is inside of us if we're saved. He's inside of all of us that are saved. And of course, we have that if we're saved. You know, the Bible talks about how Jesus is going to send the Comforter unto us and he's going to lead us into all truth. And so we have the indwelling, but tonight we're talking more about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and he enables you to do a great work. See, without the Holy Spirit upon you, you cannot be, you know, a great soul winner, getting many people saved, a great preacher. You have to have the Holy Spirit to come upon you in order to do a great work. Now turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. So it tells us in Luke 4, where you guys were, why the Holy Spirit is upon this person. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." See, that's the reason that he's filled with the Holy Spirit, is to preach the gospel. That's the same reason that we would be filled with the Spirit, is to fulfill the Great Commission. See, Samson in his day, he had the Holy Spirit upon him as well, but that was in order to, you know, slay the Philistines and stuff. We have a different mission today. Our mission is to save lives. It's to preach the gospel and get people saved. That's our mission today in the New Testament. Now, it says in Acts chapter 1, look down if you would at verse number 8. This is a very, this is a verse that we're very familiar with, but it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." See, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. "After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and unto Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so we see here that we are filled with the Holy Spirit in order to preach the gospel to the entire world. That is our mission today. And specifically, you know, I want to talk about preaching the gospel in the Virgin Islands, because we just came back from that trip and it was great. You know, we got many people saved. And in Luke chapter 4, it says that we preach the gospel to the poor. You know, and specifically, we go to the poor first. The poor are the most receptive. And in the Virgin Islands, you know, Virgin Islanders, they're poor. You know, they're very receptive to the gospel and they're very poor. And just from a physical standpoint, you know, I got a statistic here that says that the poverty rate in the U.S. Virgin Islands is higher than any other state in the U.S. at, you know, 22.4% of people are living below the poverty line. And so Here's the thing, you know, it's not as poor as somewhere else in the world, like Africa or something like that, but it's very poor, you know, for America's standards. And I believe that a great door is open to us in the Virgin Islands, and here's why. Because, you know, one of these days, we're going to resume our foreign mission trips. You know, we haven't done them in a while because of all the restrictions, you know. And because of that, we're focusing on the U.S. right now. So we want to, of course, go to the poorest parts of the U.S., get the most people saved, go to where it's receptive. And so that's why, we're going to the Virgin Islands. Otherwise, you know, maybe the Virgin Islands wouldn't be on our radar. Maybe somewhere else would be. So, you know, I'm actually, you know, in this respect, I'm thankful for those restrictions that we have that are keeping us basically doing missions in the U.S. because otherwise we would not have gotten those 187 people saved in January. And, you know, we wouldn't be getting the people saved in May that we're going to get saved there, too. We might be going somewhere else. So, of course, I want those restrictions to be gone, but I'm thankful for them that we have them now so that we can reach these Virgin Islanders with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, let's continue in Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at the next part. It says, you know, of course, it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The next part is, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, this is part of our mission as well, is to heal the brokenhearted. You know, oftentimes out soul winning, if you've been soul winning for any amount of time, then you've seen this as well, as just as like I have. We see people who are, you know, they're sad. You know, they have hard lives. They have, you know, hard times that they've gone through. And I'll give you an example from the Virgin Islands. You know, I didn't experience this personally, but one of the soul winners on our trip did. Where basically, we went to this very ghetto neighborhood. It was one of the poorest neighborhoods that we saw on the island. And we met this lady who basically told us a story about how the week before her teenage son had been shot and killed in her front yard, basically. And so, of course, she was very sad about it. You know, she was crying about it. And from what I heard from that soul winner, you know, she got saved and everything at the end of the gospel presentation, which is very good. You know, and of course, it's dangerous in the Virgin Islands. So, you know, this lady's, you know, kid was shot, but, you know, we're there to heal the brokenhearted. You know, we hope that her son is in heaven. You know, we hope that he believed in the Lord. But you know what? Now we know at least that she believes in the Lord and she's going to heaven someday and she can find great comfort in that. And so her heart, you know, we healed that. We bound up her broken heart. You know, the Bible says that some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And then others save with compassion, making a difference. And I believe that all of us should have that ability to do both of those. You know, some people are saved with fear, but then other people you have to show more compassion to. You know, you have to be, you know, nicer to and just, you know, help them through the hard times that they're going through. And so I think that's very important. Now, go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. So another part of Luke chapter 4, it talks about how we're sent out, we have the Holy Spirit upon us, and recovering of the sight to the blind. So I want to talk about recovering the sight to the blind. So, of course, whenever Jesus was on this earth, he literally did this. He literally healed people's sight and made them see. Now, we do this in a spiritual sense whenever we go out soul winning. You know, there's so many verses in the Bible. Think about all the verses that talk about unsaved people being blind. You know, there's a verse that talks about how these idols, they have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. And those that worship them are like unto them. You know, and so these unsaved people, they're blind. They're spiritually blind. They don't know how to go to heaven. Another verse talks about how the blind leading the blind, and they both shall fall into the ditch. And so we want to get these blind people who, you know, are not false prophets and everything, we want to get them saved. And so there are many verses about unsaved people being blind. And of course, you know, we all know the song, you know, I once was blind, but now I see. And so, you know, we were all like that at one point. We were all blind. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how to be saved. And then some soul winner came to us and showed us how to be saved. And then, you know, we got saved and we were able to see. And you're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This talks about, you know, giving people their sight in the spiritual sense. It says in verse number 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. So notice, they're blinded. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, we want to reach these people who have blinded minds and blinded eyes. We want to reach them with the light of the glorious gospel. And it says in verse 5, it says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So see, we have this gospel, we have this ministry in ourselves, in these earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of Him. And so that's a very powerful thing that we have, and that's a very powerful ministry that we have, is to get people saved. It's very important. So turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, back where you were, you know, in Isaiah chapter 61 and Luke chapter 4, the next part of it, it says to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's another thing that we do whenever we go out soul winning, is that we're proclaiming liberty to the captives and we're opening their prison cell. See, you know, we were all, you know, spiritually speaking, we were all in prison at one time. We were all in bondage to the fear of sin and of death and of hell. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 15, look down if you would at verse 15. It says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So for all their lifetime, they were subject to this bondage of the fear of death. You know, what's going to happen whenever I die? You know, I know that I do bad things. Do I deserve heaven? I don't know, you know. And it's very sad. And they are in bondage. And we need to release them from that bondage by preaching to them the gospel, showing them how easy it is to be saved and to go to heaven and to not have to worry about that anymore, not to have to worry about, you know, am I going to heaven? Am I going to hell? I don't know. Did I lose my salvation? Do I need to get saved again? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's funny, but, you know, we all thought that way at one point. You know, most of us in here thought that at one point, and, you know, it is sad. So, you know, that's why we have this gospel, this ministry to reach them so that they can be loosed from this bondage. You know what? I just looked in the Bible. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6, actually. Romans chapter 6. So I looked in the Bible about, you know, with these words like prison and things like that. And I found so many verses that talk about this. In Psalm 79 and verse 11, it says, "Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to death." See, the sighing of the prisoner, the person who calls out to the Lord, it says that through the greatness of His power, He's going to preserve those that are appointed to death. See, we're appointed to death because we're sinners and we deserve hell. But God is able to preserve us if we just sigh to Him, if we just call out to Him. And that's what it's talking about there in Psalm 79. It also says it the same in Psalm 102, verse 19. It says, "For He hath looked down from the height of sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death." So see, you know, we are able to call out to God, and He's able to loose the bonds that hold us, you know, the that are appointed to death. We are appointed to death. And in Psalm 142, I'll give you one more. In verse 6, it says, "Attend unto my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." And so these are just great verses about how, you know, we're prisoners, but God releases us from this spiritual prison. And then, of course, in Romans chapter 6, look down, if you would, at verse number 20. It says, "For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So these verses are just talking about how, you know, we were servants to sin, but now we have liberty, and, you know, we should live unto God now. You know, in Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So now that we have this liberty, we should serve the Lord. We should use our liberty to serve the Lord. It says, even in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so where the Spirit of the Lord is, you know, whenever we have the Holy Spirit upon us and we're preaching the gospel, people can get saved and have that liberty for themselves. They can do that. You know, they have that opportunity whenever we preach to them. And so where we preach, there is liberty. And they can be set free from the bondage of this fear and the sin and this death. So turn, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter number 25. Now, the next portion that we see in Luke 4 in Isaiah 61 is that it says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I was doing research into this, and I asked some people about it and everything, and I wanted to draw some parallels between this preaching the acceptable year of the Lord and the year of Jubilee. You know, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you know, then the year of Jubilee is basically whenever the children of Israel, they tilled their land, they sowed, they farmed their land for 49 years. And then the 50th year is supposed to be an entire year of rest. And we can see some great parallels if we look down at Leviticus 25. Look down, if you would, at verse number 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. So, yeah, the first thing I want to point out is the fact that, you know, they proclaimed with a trumpet. And, of course, that's what we do whenever we go out soul winning. We're proclaiming, you know, the gospel. We're setting it forth. You know, it could be likened unto a trumpet. And then it goes on to say, in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. So if the trumpet is preaching the gospel, then the day of the atonement is the day of salvation. You know, we preach the gospel, somebody gets saved. That's the day that they get saved. And verse 10, it says, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim, look at that word, we already saw it, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And so notice, we are blowing with this trumpet. We are on the Day of Atonement. We're getting these people saved, and we're proclaiming liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And of course, that is the Great Commission, is to preach the gospel to every creature, all nations, every creature. So there's a great parallel with that as well. And then it goes on to say, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. In verse 11, it says, a jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. And so what we see here is that for an entire year they have rest. And of course, that's what happens whenever we go soul winning. We proclaim with the trumpet, you know, they get saved, and they have this liberty, and now they have rest. They never have to worry about, am I going to hell? Am I going to heaven? You know, they never have to worry about that again. They have rest from their torment and everything like that. So that's a great parallel, you know, with the year of Jubilee. And then in Isaiah chapter 49, turn there if you would as well. I found some more verses that correspond, I believe, to preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. So in Isaiah 49, I'm going to just begin reading as you're turning there. It says in verse 8, it says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time. So see, we're talking about the acceptable year of the Lord. This is an acceptable time. Have I heard thee? And in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee. So once again, just like we saw in Psalms, God's going to preserve thee in the day of your salvation. He's going to preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. And then things change in verse 9. Look down, if you would, at Isaiah 49 and verse 9. It says that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. So notice the difference. In verse number 8, we're talking about our salvation. It says, in an acceptable time have, you know, God, have I heard thee? And in a day of salvation have I helped thee? And I will preserve thee. But then in verse 9, it says that thou mayest say to the prisoners. So what I want to talk about is the logical progression here, where basically in verse 8 is us getting saved, and then verse 9 is us getting other people saved. It says that thou mayest say to the prisoners. Who are they? Other unsaved people. Right? So that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness. That's that blindness again that we talked about. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves, that they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. So once again, we see very clearly here, you know, salvation in verse 8 and the Great Commission in verse 9. So see, the gospel has always been, you know, it's always been the Great Commission to preach the gospel, even in the Old Testament as well. We can find great verses about that. So turn, if you would, to John chapter 16 now. I want you to turn to John chapter number 16. You can go ahead and lose your place in Luke chapter 4 if you kept your finger there. But now I want to finish up with Isaiah chapter 61 where we were. You don't have to turn there. But in Isaiah 61 verse 2, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which we've already talked about. And then it says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And so I want to point out here that it's talking about how whenever we go out soul winning and things like that, you know, we are comforting them that mourn. But it says that, You know, the comfort comes from proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord and proclaiming the day of vengeance of our God. And that kind of made me wonder, like, you know, the day of vengeance of our God, if we're taking spiritual applications for this and everything, then that would be referring to hell whenever we preach about hell. But why is that a comfort to all of them that more? But let me explain to you why. Because whenever I'm at the door, oftentimes I'll explain it like this. You know, I'll explain it like, you know, I want to show you the good news about how to be saved, about Jesus dying for you. I want to show you the good news, but first, I got to show you the bad news. The bad news is that we've all sinned, and, you know, we've all come short, and we deserve hell for our sins. You know, there's the bad news, but then you progress to the good news. And in the same way, I think that here, whenever it's talking about to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that's the good news, right? You know, praise the Lord for that. You know, the day of salvation. But then also we have the bad news and the day of vengeance of our God. So we got the bad news, we got the good news. And it makes sense that that would be a comfort to all them that mourn. Because think about it, in order to be saved, you have to, you know, realize that you need to be saved. And in the same way, in order to be comforted, you have to have something to be comforted from. And so, of course, whenever we go out soul winning, we always start by explaining the fact that we're sinners, that we deserve hell for our sins. But then we progress to the fact that Jesus Christ died for us. And then that is a great comfort to all them that mourn, to all them that mourn, that think, you know, am I going to heaven? You know, what do I do? You know, am I not good enough? You know, and I've had thoughts like that before. I remember, you know, being a small kid and I did something bad or whatever. You know, I might have told a big lie or something. But I remember one point in particular, you know, I just broke down in tears. I was weeping and I was crying. And I said, just God, don't take away my salvation. Please don't send me to hell. You know, I had thoughts like that whenever I was unsaved. And I guarantee that many people in here as well, whenever they were unsaved, they had similar thoughts and feelings. And we were mournful. But you know what? We have comfort now. We have the Comforter. And, you know, we know that we will never suffer the day of vengeance of our God. We will never be sent to hell. We will never go there from now on. So we have that comfort inside of us. And now it's our job to basically comfort other people as well, to preach to them how they can be saved as well. So it makes perfect sense here. And then along those same lines, I want to talk about how, you know, preaching about hell at the door is very, very important. Whenever you're soul winning, always make sure that you bring up hell and the fact that, you know, we deserve hell for our sins. You know, and it's a very essential part of the presentation. I know that it's a temptation sometimes to maybe gloss over and not talk about it because it's not very pleasant, but of course we have to talk about it, and it's very important as well. And look down, if you would, at John chapter 16, and I'd like to talk about this a little bit. But Jesus said in verse 7, John 16, verse 7, he's preaching to his disciples. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." So notice, the Holy Spirit, he's called the Comforter. We are comforted, and we have the Holy Spirit. But notice this next part. "And when he is come to who? Come unto us. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so notice, the Comforter is sent unto us, and then he reproves the world of sin. So he's reproving the world of sin through us, the soul winner. And we go out, and basically that's how we start our gospel presentation, we reprove them of sin, because we're all sinners, of righteousness, because none of us are righteous. Jesus Christ is righteous, but we're not. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, because, you know what, it's everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what I mean? And so this is basically, you know, the bad news part of the gospel. And another great proof of this is that it says that he will reprove the world of sin. So notice, you know, we know all these great commission verses about preaching the gospel to the whole world, to every single creature. And in the same way, we must reprove the world of sin as well. So, you know, reprove them of sin, and then immediately, without skipping a beat, we talk about the good news, how Jesus died for us. And so these two things, they go hand in hand. But you have to have one and the other. You have to have the bad news and then the good news as well. You have to have both. And turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to end it in Matthew 5 today. Because, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the gospel tonight. You know, we have this great commission to preach the gospel to every creature, but specifically, you know, in the upcoming months and everything, we are going to be focusing on the U.S. Virgin Islands. You know, here at our church, we have a trip coming up in May, and, you know, they are ready to get saved. You know, the fields are white unto harvest in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And in fact, you know, I'm going to tie this in with Matthew chapter 5. You know, the U.S. Virgin Islanders, you know, they're blessed. And let me tell you why. You're there in Matthew chapter 5. Look down, if you would, at verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Hey, that's Virgin Islanders right there. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, what did it say? It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And so notice that. And then also in verse 4, there in Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We just talked about that, right? Preaching the gospel to those that mourn, and they shall be comforted. And then in verse 5, it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's what Isaiah chapter 61 said, that the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And so I just wanted to tie that in there, that and basically make the point that the people in the U.S. Virgin Islands, they're ready to get saved. You know, they're very receptive. We've gotten many of them saved already, and we're going to get many more saved upcoming in May. And so I would like to encourage you to, you know, come to this trip. You know, think about it and consider it, because the U.S. Virgin Islands, they're white unto harvest. They're ready to get saved. And, you know, not only that, that's the main reason that we do these mission trips, but there's also other reasons to come as well. You know, we have a lot of fun on these trips. You know, if you ask anybody who came to the last trip, we had a lot of fun. You know, we went to the beach, we had swimming. You know, we went to this old historic fort. We had ice cream. You know, not to mention all the good fellowship, too. That's one of my favorite parts about going to these mission trips is all the great fellowship that we have. And you know what? If you're not able to make it to the Virgin Islands trip, then that's fine, too, because you know what? We have lots of trips and things that you can go on. We have the small town trips, which are on pause right now, but they're coming back soon. We have the cross-country soul winning marathons, and those are coming up very shortly. All the information is over there. We also have Mexico Mondays, Taco Thursdays, and then we also have the daily soul winning just here at the church. You know what I mean? So there's no lack of opportunities to serve the Lord in our church. And I'm so thankful to be in a church that we have so many opportunities to go soul winning and to, you know, and yeah, so I want to leave you with that in any capacity that you can, I want you to just go soul winning, you know, to and maybe you've gotten out of it for a while, maybe you've never done it before, or maybe you do it every week. You know what? Just go soul winning. You know, I want to encourage you to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the day of vengeance of our God, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In short, to just, you know, go soul winning, preach the gospel. So anyway, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach tonight. I pray that I would have encouraged somebody to go on one of these trips and to get some people saved and just go soul winning. And just please fill us with your spirit as we go on these trips to the Virgin Islands and other places and just in our day-to-day lives as well. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.